Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
It's Culinary Corner time now, and we're going to be talking about the book called My Harvest Kitchen, 100 Plus Recipes to Savour the Seasons by Gesina Bullock Prado. Welcome to the show, Gesina.
Thank you for having me.
So, as it's saying about savouring the seasons, is it split into all four seasons then?
Well, it's split into how I enjoy the season. So it is in culinary groups like appetizers, desserts, and mains. But I talk about how I preserve the season. So even if it's not summertime, because we have a very short growing season, I can use my beautiful tomatoes that I have frozen or canned in the wintertime. So the book is more about just seasonal eating. It's about how to eat seasonally throughout the year, even when it's not the season that is necessarily appropriate.
I've got you. That makes perfect sense. I've got this information as well saying that it's homegrown ingredients. So are you self-sufficient?
Not entirely. I think one of the things about that I loved about writing this book is that I do grow a lot of my food, but I'm certainly not perfect. And I have to be gentle with myself when I want to do too much and it just doesn't come to fruition. So the book is also about where to find the best ingredients when you can't grow them yourselves, where to source them, what you're looking for, what recipes recommend themselves to the most beautiful things in season that your local farmers are growing. And then on the other hand, when there's a dearth of produce, what you're looking for in your regular old grocery store that is better than most things at that time. And so it's a book about forgiving yourself for not being able to do everything, but honoring yourself when you can do a little, and then looking around you to see where the best ingredients are that you can't grow yourself.
Yeah, and I don't think there should be any pressure on growing them yourself. I mean, making the effort to use a farmer's market, as you say, or a greengrocer's is still making an effort other than just going to the supermarket, isn't it? So you're still making an effort and trying to be healthy.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, people are busy. There's only so much that you can do. But when there's a certain recipe that you really want to highlight what's best in it, then this is the book that will show you where to go. For instance, I grow a specific onion because my father loved French onion soup, and he landed in Normandy as a teenager as an American soldier during World War II. And I can make French onion soup with what I have at the grocery store, but I made an effort to grow the onions that he would have specifically eaten at that time so that I could recreate the most memorable thing he'd ever eaten. On the other hand, I don't have to grow those onions. I know how to go to the grocery store and combine a combination of things to get close to that taste. So, you know, I give you options, but it's really about honoring the best of what's in that recipe.
Yeah, of course. And that's a great story about your father and the French onion soup. Do you put the stories in with the recipes?
I do. I think they're so important. I think it's so, first of all, I think it's really, really terrible when you have, they're called headers, which are the descriptions of the stories. I'm like, ah. If they actually don't have something, if they don't have something meaningful, it's like, oh, just get me to the recipe. But on the other hand, I love wonderful stories that have a true connection to the person writing the recipes. And that's what this book is about. It's why I grow the things I do, what I don't like to grow. There's some things I just don't like to eat. And I'm honest about it. I don't like beets. And people are like, how can you not like beets? And I explained there's something called geosmin in there, which literally means dirt taste, which is an enzyme that some people savor, and I wish I could. I just don't like it. But I tell the stories of what I grow, why I grow, and the recipes and the meaning they have to me. And then why I go out of my way to grow a thing like an onion when it takes almost a year to grow onions from seed.
Does it
and
really?
I made It really does. And you have to be at a certain latitude to grow certain onions. I talk about all of this, hopefully not in a boring manner, because it was truly a labor of love. I wanted to create the thing that my father fell in love with in a time which was likely one of the most horrifying times for him to live through. But he found something that sustained him, and I wanted to taste what he had tasted. Aww. so I could commune and kind of connect with him.
Yeah, like walking in his footsteps.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And for things like that, like you said, you grow your own onions. If somebody did want to maybe take one vegetable or a couple of things to try and grow, do you give any tips on things like what soil to use, for example?
Yes, I have tips for how the best way and what kinds of tomatoes to grow. If you are a German and you want white asparagus, how to grow that. Just tips and tricks that are simple and just giving you a little more knowledge so that if you do just want to plant one seed, I will hold your hand and help you through the process, because there is nothing more magical than planting a seed and actually see it sprout, even if it doesn't go farther than that. It is so lovely to see that little bit of life just peeking through the soil. It is one of the most magical things.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Very rewarding. Well, there's lots of great recipes in the book, from zucchini waffles to pickled peaches, peony jelly to preserved lemons, and they're all in the book, as well as pumpkin mandarin tart. So there are some desserts in there then.
Yeah, well, I am a baking instructor and pastry chef, so I could never not have this.
Of course not. No, of course. So can you tell us how to make that then?
Yes, well, it starts with a pâte sucrée, which is a lovely, almost cookie-like crust, full of butter. And then you cream together the butter and the sugar, and you add the flour and the dry elements to it, which includes almond flour, which gives it a nice sandy texture and kind of offsets the sweetness of the filling. And you bake that off, and there's a little bit of dough left that you can roll out and make into beautiful leaf-like shapes to top the tart. So topping it with a little bit of the fall beauty is kind of a lovely nod to the season. And then for the filling, it requires, of course, it's pumpkin mandarin, pumpkin puree, and mandarin juice. And we all know mandarin zest is a hard thing to get simply because it's so thin skinned. But if you have a very good microplane, you just get the zest you can, because it lends so much flavor to this. And then combining the two, along with aerating it with some ginger, nutmeg, allspice, cloves, is so beautiful. And you heat that up with some eggs and get it nice and thick to 170 to 180 degrees Fahrenheit. And then you add a little bit of leaf gelatin to it to help set it. And then the coup de grace is that once it gets down to 140 degrees Fahrenheit, you start adding in lots of copious amounts of butter, 10 ounces or 283 grams, with an immersion blender. And this also helps set, but it's butter and it gives a luscious mouthfeel. And then you pour that into the tart and you let it set. And then you top with the beautiful leaves that you've made from the leftover pâte sucrée.
Delicious. Sounds delicious and healthy at the same time.
Yes, there is a bit of a lovely pumpkin and mandarin. So you get your vitamin C and vitamin A.
Excellent. Now, I know this book is a follow-up to your previous one, which was called My Vermont Table. What was that about? Was that a different sort of theme?
It was very seasonal, but it was specific to our very short growing season in Vermont. And though if most people have heard of Vermont because our foliage is world renowned, but also because in America, we are the number one maple syrup producer. And it is something that is running through our veins. And I also, I tap our maple trees, and we boil down that sap to make maple syrup here at our own farmstead. And so the book is laced with maple syrup dairy, because we're a big dairy state. And it really speaks to what is true to Vermont. And we have six seasons in Vermont. We have winter, which is our longest season, which is most of the year. And then we have something we call mud season, which is that time where we start sugaring the maples, where there's only mud on the ground. The snow has started to melt. We have a brief dot of spring. We have summer. And then we have keeper season, or fall, where the leaves come out and the leaf peepers come to Vermont, which are the tourists who love to look at our beautiful foliage. And then our sixth season is called stick season, where all the leaves have fallen. The snow has not yet. And all you can see are the sticks above you of the trees. And so it's my homage to my home state and this beautiful place that people love to come visit, because there is so much to enjoy. And right now it would be fall. Right now it's fall foliage.
Yes, of course. It's the 1st of October, isn't it, today?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Oh,
it
no.
Uh-oh, a new season. Well, it sounds like a lovely book. It's called, for our listeners, My Harvest Kitchen, 100 Plus Recipes to Savour the Seasons. It's by Gesina Bullock-Prado, who we're chatting to now, and it is out now. If people want to find out a little bit more about you, Gesina, do you have a website as well?
I do. It's Gesina.com. And I'm also on social media at Gesina BP. And you can see little bits of my life from my homestead. I have a Mama Goose, who is one of my best friends. We, you know, there are not a lot of people here. You've got to make friends with animals. and then I have a baking school, and you can see a little into the life of being a baking instructor and a full-time sugar addict.
I'm one of those as well. Well, it's been great to chat to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, and happy fall.
Same to you. Happy fall. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.